Translation: the hearts of those above common behavior are sometimes harder than a thunderbolt and sometimes softer than a flower. How can one accommodate such contradictions in great personalities? So there's no purport here, but I'll read the previous verse, which has the purport to it. Mahanubhave chitta chitte shabhave hoy pushpa shama kumal kotin vajramon. This is the nature of the mind of an uncommon personality. Sometimes it is soft like a flower, but sometimes it is as hard as a thunderbolt. Purport: the softness of a flower and the hardness of a thunderbolt are reconciled in the behavior of a great personality. The following quotation, that means the verse we just read, from the Uttaramacharit explains this behavior. One may also consult the Madhya Lila, 3rd chapter, verse 212. That's the similar incident to the one. Yeah, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. So this chapter 3, text 212. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was met by the inhabitants of Navadvip at Shantipur, the house of Advaita Acharya, and he spent 7 days, 10 days there with all the devotees, and they wanted him to stay, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just left. And there, it's the same thing, even though everyone was much affected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leaving, he just left. The same thing happens here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going off on his tour of South India. And a few devotees have come with him from Puri. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya especially is described here. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just left them. There are many instances we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just leaves his devotees. He's with them and he just leaves them. He went to Vrindavan, all the devotees were trying to stop him going. But anyway he went. With much struggle because they tried to delay him in many ways. Another time, he was going on the way to, well, there are various times he attempted to go to Vrindavan, and one time he was followed by Gadadhar Pandit. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't like that, because Gadadhar had taken the vow of Kshetra Sannyas, that he had taken the vow to remain for the rest of his life in Kshiketra, Puridham, and worship Gopinath, Tota Gopinath. But when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Puri, Gadadhar left his service and followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "You can't do this. You took a vow to stay in Puri, so you have to do your service." And Gadadhar said, "I don't care. I want to go with you." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Well, if you come with me, then I'll get a bad name. You're supposed to be serving Krishna, I'm supposed to be teaching people how to serve Krishna, and you're not doing it properly." "To hell," Gadadhar said, "to hell with my Kshetra Sannyas. I don't care. I want to follow you. If you don't like it, you think you'll get a bad name, I'll stay at a little distance from you, and I'll take all the blame." So in this way, Gadadhar was trying to negotiate. But at a certain point, close to Katak, on the Mahanadi, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he got in a boat and said to Gadadhar, "Okay. Now you don't come any further. That's my order to you." So in this way, Gadadhar was heartbroken. Again and again we find Rupa Goswami was with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to go with this. At this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, he had already visited Vrindavan. He had come back. He was on his way back to Puri. Rupa Goswami was accompanying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Rupa to go to Vrindavan, stay in Vrindavan, do your service there. You have to do your service there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at one point got in a boat and Rupa Goswami just fainted from separation. But anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this. So it seems very hard-hearted. We expect that God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will be soft-hearted. God is good. We expect God is nice. We don't think that God is a not nice person. Generally, God is good. That's accepted as axiomatic by people who believe in God. Of course, some people think that God is good. They're a very strange concept. They think God is good to me and others in my group, and I hate others. Therefore, he's good by hating them also. Well, maybe Gaur Purnima will end up like this, like all the other religious festivals, with Bollywood music. Saraswati Puja, Diwali, weddings, it's all become like this. So, you never know. Gaur Purnima may end up like that. As we bring in the consciousness of sense gratification, then who knows how far it can degrade. We already practically lost the Madanga. We've got these African bongo drums because people like them. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likes mridangas, but we like bongo drums, so we will play them. So like this, gradually, the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is lost, and in the name of bhakti, we have sense gratification. That's a very harsh statement to make, isn't it? Well, that's the subject that we're discussing. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is by nature very soft, but he may be very hard sometimes also. How can we understand this? Ko no vijnata mishmaraha. Who can understand this about God? Because we expect him to be good. I was saying that some people think that God being good means that they have a concept that God being good means he should help me. Someone is good in materialistic people's perverted conception. Someone is good if they do what I want. So if God is good, he should do what I want. Bhakti means that we do what he wants. But in some very perverted conceptions of God consciousness, they think God, actually mostly almost everyone in the world, in the material world, who believes in God, right up to Indra. They think that God being good means He helps me in my sense gratification. He does what I want. So some people have the idea that God is good, and those of us who are in the group that He approves of, then we all go to heaven to enjoy ourselves, and the majority of the population of the world burn in hell forever. So they also have a conception of God being very harsh, and they like that. The greatest pleasure of being in heaven, according to their understanding, is to laugh at all the people who are suffering in hell. So they have a nasty idea, because they are nasty, and they think that God must be the biggest nasty. So that is not actually correct. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, His natural quality is that He's very sweet. He's very soft, and especially very kind. Kind means He wants everyone to enjoy with Him. But that enjoyment is possible to enjoy with Krishna when we stop trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, and when we understand that He is the central enjoyer. By pleasing Him, then we ourselves become happy, not round the other way. That God's duty is to make me happy. It's not like that. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very soft by nature. Please, everyone, take out your cell phone and turn it off. Everyone has a cell phone, right? So everyone who has not yet turned their cell phone off, kindly turn it off. It's also not a time for chanting japa. During class is not a time for chanting japa. So he is very soft, but when he comes to this world, he says, Vinashayata dushkritam. That sounds very hard. He's so harsh that he kills all the Kshatriyas 21 times. Their dynasty gets regenerated. 21 times he chops off their head. We're just singing in praise of Keho Bale Purubete Ravana Bodhilo. We're praising him that he killed Ravana. The Supreme Lord, he comes as Ram. And although he's very kind to the inhabitants of Ayodhya, he's very harsh to the demons. Apparently so. After all, he did also arrange for Ravana's antyeshti, his funeral rites. So actually he is the friend of everyone. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. But he exhibits his kindness toward those who are very sinful in a manner which appears to them that he is being their enemy. Actually, he's not the enemy of anyone. But because they think of him as an enemy, yayata mam prapadyante tangas tathaiva prajamiyaham mama vartnanu vartante. What's the next line? Manusha Pata Sarvasha. Everyone is under his control. We may think that we're independent, but we're all under the control of Krishna. Everyone is under the control of Krishna. We all have to follow the laws of the universe. We can't avoid that. Unless we eat, we become weak. And if we think, I'll stop breathing, then we die. If we want to do anything, there are certain ways of doing things, just like there are paintings here, or at least copies of paintings. So original paintings, there's a way to do it. To make oil paint, to make an oil painting, the paint has to be made in a certain way. Someone may have discovered how to make oil paint, But that discovery, it's already programmed into the universe. How oil can be made into paint, and how it is different colors of oil paint are blended. The artist may think, I am doing the painting, but he has to do so according to the laws of the universe. So manusha partha sarvashaha, everyone is within the scope of Krishna's rule. Foolishly we may think ourselves independent, but we are all controlled by him. We're all within his control. Those who we have a little independence, and those who grossly misuse it think of themselves as the enemies of Krishna. And Krishna behaves apparently very harshly with them. Now, here we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing harshly even with his devotees. And we see that. Krishna left the Rasa Lila. Rama left Ayodhya. No one would have complained. In fact, they were begging him to come back. No one would have complained if he had come back. The only problem would be there'd be no Ramayana. There would still be Ravana over there on Lanka. So the purpose of his coming, to fulfill that, he had to be harsh to the residents of Ayodhya, who wanted him. They couldn't understand, why doesn't he come back? Why didn't he? Now what's this? You have to fulfill your promise. Who cares about the promise? You know, what's the use of this useless promise? Extorted by this Kaikeyi. I mean, even Bharat himself was willing to kill Kaikeyi. She did all this just to put him on the throne, and he was willing to kill her, let alone break the promise to her. He was willing to kill her. So even in Ram Leela we see there were personalities who are ready to break the rules of dharma for the sake of bhakti. But Ram would have nothing to do with it. For various purposes. He made his devotees unhappy to demonstrate the proper behavior of one who is completely adherent to dharma. So, the Supreme Lord may appear to be very harsh, but he had to do that to let the Leela unfold more, and gradually that culminated in his killing of Ravana, which was the external purpose for him coming to the world. Krishna left the Rasa Leela, left his devotees. So it may appear very harsh, but Krishna has his purpose. By leaving his devotees, he actually increases their love for him. But he also has purposes to fulfill. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left his devotees so that he could travel in South India. Of course you could say, well, why didn't he take his devotees with him? That is answered elsewhere, because he didn't want to have a big group that would have... If there was a big group, one thing is that would... a big group, we see from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own Leela that for contemplation of Krishna's pastimes, a big group is not the best. A big group is good for Sankirtan, but for, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did, relishing the pastimes of Krishna, he would just have a few devotees who were completely in tune, completely harmonized. Their consciousness was completely harmonized with that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at his level. So that's one reason. Another reason is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he needed to go alone because his pastimes were like that. He left his intimate devotees, and in this way he gave his association intimately to others. Just like in Sri Ranga, he gave his association intimately to Venkata Bhatta and others who would not have had such intimate association if there had been more devotees present. That's just a natural law. Of course, the Supreme Lord can personally interact with others unlimitedly, but in his pastimes, as a human being, his human-like pastimes, he, to a large extent, he follows the rule of the world. In Rasa-lila, he expanded himself into as many forms as there were gopis. So each gopi had Krishna personally with him. But in Chaitanya-lila, and mostly in Krishna-lila, he was just in one form at a time. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did that in Puri Dham, when the Rathiyatra, when Jagannath Rath was going, there were 7 Sankirtan parties, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expanded himself in 7 forms to be with each party. But normally, one person can only interact intimately with a few people. We may have many acquaintances, but very few people who we know very intimately. We see that even with Srila Prabhupada. In his first days of preaching in the West, his manner of dealing with people was different to that later on when he had many disciples. And his dealings with his first disciples were very intimate. He would spend a lot of time with them. He knew them all very well personally. Later disciples who came, they couldn't even speak with Srila Prabhupada. They couldn't come close to him. That's natural, because you can't have an intimate person, especially when you're traveling around the world, you can't have that kind of intimate personal association with many people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he left Sarvabhauma and other devotees to travel in South India, and apparently very harsh to do so. That was necessary. It's said here that lokotaranam chetamsi, that the behavior of persons who are above the normal level, not the behavior, the cheta. So it's not just the behavior, but it's described even the mood or the consciousness is hard. Now that seems very strange, especially in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he doesn't kill anyone. He is Karuna Avatar. All the avatars, they all come simply to give mercy to the fallen people of this world. Otherwise, there's no need for them to come to the world. There's no need for them to come here. But they come specifically to show their mercy to the people of this world. And of all the avatars, that Karuna avatar that's described of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, Parama Karuna, Pahundvijana, Nitai Gaurachandra, these two are the most merciful. Actually, of the two, Nityananda is said to be more merciful. But today, we're discussing Gaurlila, so we won't say that today. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is more exhibited by Nityananda. Or he exhibits his mercy through Nityananda or as Nityananda. So, he is the most merciful. He doesn't kill anyone physically, although he was almost did with Jagai and Madhai. But Nityananda restrained him. Therefore, Nityananda is known as more merciful. Ma ke, what is it? Deya prema. After being physically hit, Nityananda simply gave Krishna, love of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also very harsh at that time. He wanted to kill Jagayan Madhai. So that's also very harsh. So it's stated that even there's some harshness in his consciousness, which is not expected. Of course, please don't sit with your back to the deity. So that harshness is just another aspect of his softness and his sweetness. Krishna is all around. Just like in the material world, happiness and distress, it's all distress. In the spiritual world, happiness and distress, it's all happiness. So Krishna is very sweet. So his harshness and his softness, it's all sweet. In the Madhurashtaka, composed by Vallabhacharya, one of the points he says is Dalanam Madhuram. Even his smashing Dalita Hiranyakashipu, the original Dalit Hiranyakashipu, he was smashed by or crushed by Nrisimhadev. But even his crushing of others, that's very sweet. Devotees take great pleasure in hearing the pastimes of Krishna, not just Rasalila, killing the demons. They also take great pleasure in hearing how Krishna kills the demons. So that may seem incongruous, but it's not incongruous because everything Krishna does is sweet. And although Krishna is known as Madhurya Vigraha, and the very form of sweetness, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Audarya Vigraha, the very form of benevolence, magnanimity. But actually the sweetness in Gaur Leela is even more than in Krishna Leela. Although the sweetness in Krishna Leela is unlimited, but it is more so in Chaitanya Leela. Now that sentence which I just spoke doesn't make sense. Because if something's unlimited, you can't have more than unlimited. Greater than infinity is impossible. That sentence doesn't make sense on the material platform, but on Krishna's platform, he doesn't have to make sense to what stupid people think is sensible. That's why they can't understand God. Konu vigyatam Ishvarah. They can't understand him because they think that God should be, if there's God, he should be like they think he should be, but it's round the other way. We're supposed to be the way that he thinks we should be, that we got it wrong. We think God, why is there suffering in the world? That means there's no God. No, you got it wrong. There is God and there's suffering in the world because you ask stupid questions like that. Because you think that God's duty is to make your life of sense gratification, rejecting him, enjoyable. But rather, his duty is to make suffering because you are forgetting him. Not that he hates you, but you cannot actually be happy without him. So he gives you some token suffering in the form of birth, death, old age, disease, earthquakes, tsunamis, Bollywood music, and so on. And so on, just to, should be a joke somewhere, just to bring us to the consciousness that really this birth, death, old age, disease, and so on, itching in the ear, it's not, that's not really the suffering. We have tremendous pain. We've all experienced disease, it's suffering, is it not? Who's had severe toothache? Not so many. You're all lucky. Women, we're told, they suffer tremendous pain. I don't remember in this life, maybe in many lives, if I may have been in female bodies giving birth. It's very painful. So it's an intense experience. Pain is an intense experience. But that's not really the suffering. That's just a token. The real suffering is that we're not with Krishna. But we've become inured to that. We feel, we don't feel it. Why don't we feel? Krishna wants us to feel for Him the bliss of being with Him. But we don't. We think God's duty is to make life nice for us. Rather, our duty is to make things nice for Him, to make nice food for Him, nice decorations for Him, nice atmosphere for Him. That's why the temple, they put it on a hill. Traditionally they put on a hill, or they put a big wall around it. And in any nonsense music like that, first of all, they shouldn't be anywhere in the world. But because it is the material world where people are nonsense, so that kind of sound should not be close to Krishna. Krishna should only hear very sweet sounds which are pleasing to Him. Again, that's why we shouldn't play the jhumbe, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought the mridanga to this world. And someone from hell brought this horrible drum. And they want to spoil the kirtan and call it kirtan. And displease Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with this horrible sound, which is attractive to ghosts, not to devotees. So, I suggest you can make a special offering to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today. I saw that jhumbe drum there. You can offer it in the fire and cook chapatis or whatever, and in this way offer it to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that the madhur, madhur, madhur bhaje doesn't get lost in the bang, bang, bang of this nasty sound. So, we are all foolish, nasty. We're being nasty toward Krishna. And when we're nasty to everyone else, Krishna feels that. Krishna, by the way, if you've ever read Prabhupada's books, you might want to believe it. He is a person. It's not just a formula that we say. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has, that means He's a person, means He's not just a statue standing on the altar. He has His likes and dislikes. He likes mridanga. Guess what He doesn't like? There are certain things He doesn't like. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduces the kirtan that Krishna likes. What is that? Gaura bihita kirtana shuni. That Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about. He likes to hear the kirtan which is approved or brought by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He is the acharya of the whole world. He has taught us what Krishna likes, what Krishna doesn't like. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most soft-hearted. The Mo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Trishena Maha. Just in this Gaurangara Duti Pada, Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning of his commentary on that, explanation of that, he said that devotional service is very difficult. And later on in the purport, he says, it's not difficult. So how is it not difficult? It's difficult. Bahunam jananamante jnanavan mamprapadyate. After many lives we may come to that. But it's not difficult by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everything becomes easy. What is very difficult, that may take millions of lives to come to the point of, and even then not come to the point of. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavam. Those who are at least trying to become spiritually realized, they, after many lives, they may come to this point. Most people don't even try to become spiritually realized. And even those who are trying, they may not attain that. Especially what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives. Even the residents of Vaikuntha, they have no idea what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives is a mystery to the residents of Vaikuntha and Dwarka and Mathura, that we'll sing later, the Jodi Gorna Hoito, that only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give this. Even Krishna himself doesn't give what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives, and he gives it to the most unqualified people. It is astonishing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Chaitanya Daya Kata, Koroho Bichar, Bichar Koile Chitte, Pabe Chamatkar. If we discuss what is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will be astonished at how merciful is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's very merciful, very kind, very soft. But here we see it's described that he's also very harsh. And we may be surprised. How is that? How, even in this avatar, he's also harsh. But then again, harsh means apparently cruel. Apparently cruel, yeah. Harsh in Hindi or harsh in Sanskrit, yeah, has different meaning. So he's apparently very cruel. But again, that is an aspect of his kindness. Because his apparent hardness, that's not out of enmity to anyone. He is Suhridam Sarava Bhutana. He is really the best friend of everyone, but only apparently cruel. Srila Prabhupada gave an example from the material world. Shaka Chandranai, giving an example from the material world to illuminate the position of the spiritual existence. Srila Prabhupada gave an example of how during his household life he heard from next door, the neighbor's house, that maybe it was in Calcutta, that the child is crying and the mother is shouting and beating the child. So that's not expected, because the mother is expected to love the child. Then why is she beating him? So he sent his servant to get the news. That's the system for how do you get the news? You know everything what's going on in the next door's house by the underground system. The servants, they exchange the news back and forward. So everyone knows what's going on in everyone else's house. Now don't have servants. Still in Calcutta, many people have. Not so much in Bombay, because it's too expensive. Even if you have a 1 crore pigeonhole apartment, 1 crore, you can't get anything for 1 crore. But you can't afford a servant. Not much. You don't see servants. So the news came back that one of her sons, this woman who's beating the son, one of her sons had typhoid. And she was, so typhoid, in typhoid you have to not feed, not eat, or take very light food. And she was cooking paratha. This was Prabhupada's, where was that? Maybe this was in Allahabad, because Bengalis don't cook parathas. Nowadays they don't. In those days they didn't. Anyway, so the boy was feeling hungry, or he liked the paratha, it's very tasty. So he asked his younger brother, that you bring me some paratha, you smuggle me some paratha. So the younger brother has to follow the order of the elder brother. So he brought some, and he was caught by the mother, who then beat the younger brother for attempting to give paratha to the elder brother. Now the younger brother, what he did, He did it with a motive to benefit his elder. He was only following orders. But the result was beating. So the woman, why was she beating her son? Because she loved her son. Doesn't sound logical, does it? But she wanted to protect the elder son, because in that condition, to eat paratha is very dangerous. That will exacerbate the disease. So out of love for the son, she beat the other son, and also to teach him that not to give your brothers parathas, even if he tells you to do so, when he has typhoid. So it was an expression of her love for her son that she beat him. Now it may seem strange, but that is the way of the world, that sometimes apparent cruelty is exhibited. It is necessary to exhibit some cruelty in the name of, or to nourish, or for the sake of one's love, it's necessary to exhibit some apparent cruelty. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had to leave his devotees. He came from the spiritual world to deliver the fallen souls. Now, his devotees were very unhappy when he went away, that he had to go to deliver the fallen souls. If he just wanted to be with his devotees, he could have stayed in the spiritual world. There was no need for him to come even to this world. But to deliver the fallen souls, he had to leave his devotees so he could concentrate on that. Again, if he brought his devotees with him, then they would take his attention and they would discuss topics of bhakti, whereas he needed to give his attention to the fallen souls. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. The Babajis, they cannot understand this. They're just imitating Chaitanya, the so-called Babajis. They're imitating Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by just sitting in some dham and relishing topics of Leela. So relishing topics of Leela, that is very nice. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally showed by his Leela, Jare dekho tare kohe. Oh, we just read, didn't we? Jare dekho tare kohe. No, that's in another. Jare dekhe tare kohe. Krishna upadesh. Amar agai guru hoya taro edesh. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally showed that we have to go out into the world. We have to preach the message of Krishna to people who are a long way from Krishna. People who have no interest in Krishna, or people whose interest in Krishna is in the wrong way. Just like Shishupal was interested in Krishna. Shishupal was a highly Krishna conscious person. If we could be even slightly as Krishna conscious as him, we would be blessed, but not in the way that he was Krishna conscious. He was Krishna conscious in the wrong way. So it's possible to be Krishna conscious in the wrong way. So preaching means we have to preach to people to become Krishna conscious, and then when they take to Krishna consciousness, we have to train them to be Krishna conscious, anukulyena Krishna anushilana, to cultivate Krishna consciousness in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. Because always in material consciousness, our attitude of sense gratification is there. So we bring that into devotional service, and we make so many excuses in the name of time, place and circumstance. And eventually we throw out the mridanga and the kartals, and we throw out the whole Gopanima celebration and just turn it into another Bollywood party. That's what will happen if we don't stick to what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives us. It will go the same way as Diwali and Saraswati Puja and all these other things. They just become totally secular in Christian, in the Western world. Christmas, no one thinks of Christ, hardly. But Christmas is just another occasion for more sense gratification. So unless we keep bhakti, pure, in the way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants it, then if we adjust it to what we want, then it will end up like that. It'll be an occasion for getting drunk and eve teasing and so on, because that's what materialistic people like to do. Celebration means I should be happy. Instead of celebration, let us glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the way he wants. Then we end up, and let me do in the way I want. Let me celebrate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance in the way I want. And then eventually, well, what do we need him for? What do we need Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for? I can enjoy without him. And that's material life, enjoying without him. So, the so-called Babaji's, they can't understand. They think that we should just sit and enjoy bhakti. We hear all these professional Bhagavad speakers and professional kirtan performers. People come and they listen, and if it was a good performance, they say, "Oh, bahut anand hua, khub bhalo lageche." As if they judge it according to how much their material consciousness experiences enjoyment. This is not bhakti. So this is not the bhakti that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us. That is not ahaituki apratihata yayatma supasidati. That's not the bhakti described in Srimad Bhagavatam. That is a perverted reflection of actual bhakti. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in this land of Bengal, where bhakti, the bhakti cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, had become so corrupted that they appeared to be very harsh, especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In Rupa Anoga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari, that was his name. He who takes away the darkness that covers the actual conclusions of the teachings of Rupa Goswami. So, this Calcutta is a very important city for serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's the capital of Bengal, in modern Bengal. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, the capital was Gaur, therefore his sampradaya is known as Gauriya. At least that's what people think. That's the external meaning of Gauriya. Otherwise there were different kingdoms. Krishnanagar, that was also previously capital of the king of that area. Now Calcutta is the capital of Bengal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, appeared in Bengal, Gauramandala Bhumi, Jiba Jane Chintamani, Tar Hoi Vrindavanabhash. So this whole land is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime area and that of his disciples. This whole area, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he likes, that's described by his followers, that he likes the Bengali people, even though they didn't like him. They chased him out practically. They didn't like him. They were offensive to him. At least the Parava Adham, the fallen students, they misbehaved with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he left Bengal. But out of compassion for the people here, he sent back Nityananda Prabhu to Bengal to uplift those people. Therefore, Nityananda is said to be more merciful. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself apparently couldn't do or didn't do, he sent Nityananda to do. So we find that this culture of Krishna consciousness is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strong in Bengal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted, Priti Vite Ate Jata Nagar Adigam Sabhata Pratha Haibe Morana. That my name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will be preached in every town and village of the world. But it's already being preached in every town and village of Bengal. So, Bengal, Orissa, people know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They already have a head start. Even now, at least when I used to live in Kolkata, not in this area, in Sham Bazaar area, they'd have these Nam Jagyas. Probably still, they must be now, today, for Gaur Purnima, they must be having a Nam Jagya. They have professional groups who chant Hare Krishna non-stop. Minimum Ashtapraha, one day, or sometimes 3 days or 7 days. So this is the culture. I guess you could say there are two main cultures in Bengal. The Vaishnava culture, which is actually more strong in East Bengal, in Bangladesh. But traditionally also in the Sundarbans, Mednipur, which is now Maoist influenced. So traditionally these areas were Vaishnava. Mednipur, that was actually under Orissa, Shamananda Sampradaya. But in West Bengal, the Shakta cult was stronger. Kalihat. So, you know all this, Dakshineshwar. So many times people ask me, have you been to Dakshineshwar? Prabhupada said, my disciple, when someone asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada said, if his disciples go there, Prabhupada said, my disciples don't go there even to pass urine. That was Prabhupada's response. So these are the two, and then there's the tantrics. Jekane Bengali, Shekane Kalibari, Kali worship. Everyone knows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Parava Adham, the fallen intellectuals of Bengal, they had a very puffed up, offensive attitude toward Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And still today, in Bengal, most of the so-called intellectuals, they have this very puffed up attitude. And they think that Vaishnavas are very low class, and Shakta, we are very high class. We know how to enjoy the world, Bhadralo. We know how to live very nicely and chupan, and we know how to cook. My wife cooks fish very nicely, very expertly. And not only fish, mutton and everything. So we know how to enjoy life. And these Vaishnavas, they're just rabble. So Vaishnav culture is there in Bengal. They have a head start, but many people, they're against that, or they have no interest. They're so unfortunate. The greatest literature, the greatest culture, Bengalis are proud of their literature and culture, but they have no interest in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's so unfortunate. Even I see our own devotees, so many, they're Bengali, but they don't read Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have so much Vaishnava literature, but they have not much interest. So, they're simultaneously fortunate and unfortunate. That we just read. What is that? We just read that. I can't remember now. Just in the at the end of the chapter, we read of chapter 13. Jaina. What is that? P-A-B-Shagartapani. Anyway, the purport is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is just like nectar. But those who, avoiding this, they drink the water from a poison pot, they're the most unfortunate. So Bengalis are simultaneously the most fortunate and the most unfortunate, because they have easy access to the pastimes, to the culture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they're unfortunate if they don't take advantage of that. So we see that all of our recent acharyas, they all had an intimate connection with Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada appeared here in Calcutta. He lived many years here. And he established his first Pakka ISKCON center here in Calcutta. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was ordered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to oversee the service of Mahaprabhu at Mayapur. He did that for some time, then he came to Calcutta. And his preaching mission was centered in Calcutta. The spiritual center, of course, was Mayapur. Mayapur will always be the spiritual center of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. We have so many centers. New York, London, every Namhata in every town and village is a center. We call it a center. That means, when we say an ISKCON center, that means from there, means a place from which Chaitanya, going out from the center. If there's a center, there has to be something around it, right? Otherwise it's not a center, isn't it? We say center as a synonym of mat, mandir, prachar kendra. But center means there has to be something around it. So we have a center means we have to have something, all that we go out. Srila Prabhupada said that our temples, he wrote in a letter, that our temples are not meant for eating and sleeping, but as bases from which we go out to distribute the books. So in this way, from the center, Krishna consciousness expands. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's preaching mission was centered in Calcutta. And Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, one of his orders to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was to never go to Calcutta. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained, I followed that order. I never went to Calcutta. He had a big temple in Ultradindi Road. He had his first center. That's now an ISKCON property? Yeah. That was my suggestion. I should take it before it gets knocked down. Like all these buildings, they're all new here. There used to be, this was, Prabhupada said, this is an aristocratic quarter. So when I first came here, all these buildings weren't here. Gradually all the old buildings are being knocked down and it's all high rises coming up. So he started there, and then that marble temple was built at Bagh Bazar, and that was the center of their preaching. Everyone had to go out, including himself. He would travel widely. But Calcutta was his center. Yeah, he said, I never lived in Calcutta. I never went to Calcutta. He said, I stayed in the Gauriya Math, which is Vaikuntha, because there is only talk. There is only Krishna, Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan. So he said, that's not Calcutta. He also ordered Gorky Shordas Babaji Maharaj also ordered Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur not to make any disciples. He said, I never made disciples. They're all my teachers. So he fulfilled the order of Gorky Shordas Babaji Maharaj. So we're also here fulfilling the order of Gorky Shordas Babaji Maharaj not to go to Calcutta. None of you should ever go to Calcutta. But we're in Calcutta. Then we should remain in the association of devotees. And preach. This is Gaur Leela. Don't think that Gaur Leela is only in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This Gaur Leela is going on. This in all towns and villages, wherever, especially Prabhupada's books, his distribution, Srila Prabhupada always emphasized that the main preaching is distributing his books. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement now, that is going on, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did with Madanga and Kartel. So that will go on chanting. Udilo arana purabha bhage dvijamani gora amani jage bhakata shama loya shate gelo nagara praja. This was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal preaching method to go out with mridangas and kartals and devotees and chant in the towns and villages. But this distribution of books, this is the present phase, most important phase. And we see of the Sankirtan Leela at the present time. And we see practically how, by distribution of books, how devotees are doing that. They experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's presence. That was Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Actually, yeah, I was talking about these recent acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He also lived here in Calcutta. He made a house here, Bhakti Bhavan, in Malik Tola Street, which is now, what's it called now? It's got some other name. It's not called, it's right in the center of Calcutta. You can try and get that also. That was his descendants are still living there, so we could try to get that. He built a Bhakti Bhavan. The people are surprised, why are you building a house in Calcutta? Because generally the Vaishnavas, they thought Calcutta horrible. Why should we go there? Totally materialistic city. The British capital, full of all these people who are getting British education, and with the British education they're giving up their culture. Just the very presence of so many foreigners from the point of view of sadhus made the whole place impure. That's why one reason why Srila Prabhupada first came back from the West with Western disciples, many people in India thought that this was a great contamination. How can you make them? They can't be Vaishnavas. So many people used to say to me that you cannot become a Hindu. You cannot convert to Hinduism. Maybe in your next life you become a Hindu. Not in this life. And I tell them, I don't want to be a Hindu in this life or the next life. That's not what I'm here for. And they couldn't understand. So, Calcutta was considered place of great sense gratification, completely materialistic place. So sadhus or people interested in spiritual life, they wouldn't come to Calcutta. Even many years ago I heard Jayapitaka Maharaj say that he once, when he was overseeing the construction in Mayapur, this would be 1970s, that one of the local Muslim men, he heard him speaking to some others, to some other Muslim men there in the village, or anyway, somewhere there in Mayapur. And that man was saying that, I went to Calcutta, it was horrible. I'll never go there again. I saw in a park a boy and a girl. This is in the 1970s. It was not very common then. I didn't see it, but he saw it. That a boy and a girl sitting next to each other and talking with each other. Horrible. So the pristine culture of India was still being preserved in the villages. But Calcutta, even at that time, it was considered very fallen and degraded by people who are interested in spiritual life or following orthodox, what we might call Hindu culture. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur made his house in Calcutta, and people criticized, why are you making a house in Calcutta? Later, of course, he made a house in Godruma Dham, in Navadvip Dham. But he said that this house, it's not part of Calcutta, it's part of the spiritual world, because it's meant for serving Vaishnavas. So of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually served Vaishnavas there. Sometimes we hear people say, yes, I'm building a big house just for doing bhakti. But many times they want a big house for their own needs. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he built a house, Bhakti Bhavan, for serving the Vaishnavas, for executing bhakti. And he preached in this city of Calcutta. He lived in this city. He passed away from this world in this city of Calcutta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also passed away from this world. So it is a great bastion of Maya, which our Vaishnava Acharyas have spent time in, lived in, so that they could bring the people to Krishna consciousness. So the representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the modern world, they have lived here for the sake of preaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote and published so many books. Not only his own books, but he published so many books of other sampradayas and Gaudiya works. At that time, many Gaudiya works were getting lost because they're only written manuscripts. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually not only Bhaktivinoda, there are others also who would get books that were previously only in the form of palm manuscripts and publish them for the sake of posterity. So that was a service. He inaugurated the book publication, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He also put great emphasis on that. And Srila Prabhupada, our own Srila Prabhupada, he played the Brihat Madanga very loudly. So if 12 o'clock is Arati, is it? I see. Oh. Then we should celebrate the Arati. Then we'll have Arati. We'll go on with that. We'll have Arati Kirtan. Hare Krishna.